From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed.
When the big game season ends in November, there's a guaranteed influx of goose hunters along the Yellowstone River east of Billings. Since 1958, a portion of the river has been closed to waterfowl hunting. From the junction of the Yellowstone and the Bighorn Rivers, downstream to the Rosebud-Custer County line, the river has been off-limits to waterfowl hunting. The closure was initiated when goose and duck numbers were low in the region. A survey in 1961 found only 500 or so geese. By 2013, the same section held almost 40,000 geese. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has proposed reopening the river section to hunting. The Fish and Wildlife Commission will consider the idea at its April 17th meeting. I've had many hunters reach out to me asking to make sense of what this may or may not mean. So we have Brett French, Billings Gazette outdoor editor, who recently wrote about the issue, and he's here to discuss what he found. So, Brett, welcome. What's the reason given for the possibility of lifting this closure?
The reason that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is looking at reopening this section of river is that they were given the suggestion back when Hank Warsich was still the director to look at regulations that were maybe outdated or could be streamlined. And this is one where they thought maybe there was no longer a biological necessity for it, given the increase in waterfowl numbers along that stretch.
Okay, so by 2013, when they studied this again and they saw this massive increase over the 1961 study, why didn't anything happen or did something happen in 2013?
Well, back in the 70s, there was a proposal to open up a portion of the river to hunting again. And Fish, Wildlife, and Parks was sued by some landowners along the river who said they weren't given enough public notice and didn't have time to comment on it. And the judge ruled in the complainant's favor, so FWP backed away from it. It did come up again here a few years back, and the commission was talking about it, but no action again was ever taken.
So that's why this has been in place for so long?
Yeah, it's one of those things that is probably easier to put in place than to get rid of.
Maybe can you familiarize me? Is this common in that flyway in eastern Montana that there are portions of rivers closed to waterfowl hunting, or does this stand out to you?
No, this is pretty unusual, and obviously it was initiated for conservation concerns out of trying to rebuild those numbers along that flyway as the geese come south. And obviously it's been successful. There's been a lot of other proactive things that have gone on since the late 1950s to increase waterfowl numbers as well, you know, with conservation organizations doing a lot to maintain and enhance habitat. So, it's been a success. I don't know of anywhere else in Montana that there's a closure on a streamway. As soon as I say that, though, somebody will remind me that I'm wrong. But I know, there's concerns always about hunting along rivers by landowners. It's probably a little unsettling to hear the shotguns booming during the season all of a sudden. But most places I know, as long as you're within that high water mark, you can hunt along the rivers.
Right. And I mean, when you're talking about late season waterfowl hunting, oftentimes the rivers are the only water that's open for, for the birds to roost on. So the waterfowl hunters are definitely drawn to that, you know, whereas still water was typically frozen over.
Right.
So your story talks about a study done on the closure. What did that study show?
Yeah, it was a study done by the guy who's now a Fish, Wildlife, and Parks wildlife biologist in Region 7 over in Miles City. But back then it was a study while he was going to get his graduate degree, and he chose the topic of looking at that section of river and what the landowners along the river and those just outside the river drainage thought about the closure. So he calls them inside and outside landowners. So obviously they're both pretty close to the river, but those along the river had a much higher appreciation of the closure. One commenter on the poll that he conducted said it was a good way to keep the city idiots off of his property. That was the other concern. A lot of the landowners right along the river thought that opening it up would increase trespassing on their private property. Not so much the landowners that are one section or whatever removed from the river that aren't right next to it. You know, they had fewer concerns about that closure being lifted.
So it kind of sounds like what you're saying is the general consensus of landowners, riverfront landowners inside that closure area are supportive of keeping this closure in place.
Yeah, I think out of the ones that responded to the survey, it was over 50% of the landowners wanted to keep it closed. And there's also concern, obviously, among hunters, you know, whether opening this up will really hurt that late season waterfowl hunting. You know, if those birds get scared off early in the season, will they still be around in November? There's also concerns about outfitting along the river. It's a pretty popular place. You can spend like over $2,000 to go out there for 3 days, room and board, and go goose hunting on somebody's property, you know. So it brings in a lot of hunters to the Forsyth area. And, you know, there's the outfitters are concerned that it could impact the business.
But I guess just to make clear, this closure was driven by, you know, a scientific determination of the waterfowl population. And the science is saying that the population has recovered, but kind of this discussion is less about the science and it's more about like the social side of what this closure means. Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah. And like a lot of our wildlife issues anymore, you know, it comes down to the social issues. And one of the things mentioned is there's a lot of traffic, a lot more traffic on the river now than there was back in late 1950s, early 1960s, you know, more jet boating, more anglers running up and down the river, whether they're waterfowl hunting or not. So those birds are getting displaced. But you know, on the other side, the hunters who want to keep the closure say, yeah, but at least they're not getting shot at, so they're sticking around.
Okay, and so you mentioned something about, you know, hunters' concern about the lifting of the closure. Can you square that for me? It sounds like lifting the closure would provide more hunting opportunity. Can you get to the nuance of that concern?
Yeah, that's really kind of a diametrically opposed. You know, generally hunters are all about access. They want more access. So it's kind of a wedge issue in the sense that some people would really like to see more access and others would like to see it remain closed to keep those birds with the idea that it would keep those birds around. Whether or not that's true, it's, you know, hard to know until you lift the closure. It seems just, you know, sensible that if birds are getting shot at, they would leave the area. But there's been surveys on other sections of like the Bighorn River that see equally high numbers of waterfowl concentrations, you know, and they are still hunted and still stick around. So There's more than just that one factor involved. Obviously, you know, if there's no, if there's heavy snow on the fields that they can't even get down to the grain and stuff, they're probably going to leave anyway. So there's that side of it too. But yeah, it's kind of interesting how it's driven a wedge between some of these hunters on the issue.
Right. Have there been any other responses to this proposal that we haven't addressed in this conversation?
Not that I can think of. That's the main one, is just the divergence between the hunters, I think, you know, kind of confused about it. And obviously it's landowners are always concerned about trespass and hunting opportunities can, you know, promote that. But by the same token, it's a long stretch of river. You know, this, we're talking about 67 miles of river. So that's a lot of room to spread out on too.
Mm-hmm. And now this just wrapped up its public comment period, right? So we haven't really heard how the Fish and Wildlife Commission may be leaning on this proposal, right?
Right. I think the comment goes to the 28th, so the end of the week, and then the commission meets in the middle of next month, and we'll take a look at it. They've been getting hit from both sides in the comments, you know, on whether to keep it or get rid of it. So it'll be interesting to see what they come down on. It's, you know, most goose hunters don't really hunt river water anyway. You know, most of us are going out in the fields, although you can occasionally catch them flying in between, you know, but typically you don't think of goose hunting as something that you do along the river. It's more of a, you know, layout in the field with your decoys kind of arrangement.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I can see where, you know, hunters that, you know, are doing those field hunts and that agriculture along that river, that hunting probably greatly benefits by having this sort of roosting refuge in place on the waterway.
There are some pretty incredible, you know, flocks that fly over when you're out there. And yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. But you also see some big flocks, you know, just outside of the Billings along the ag fields there. A lot of times it's really interesting. When I used to live in Helena, we hunted the Missouri River down below Tostin. And those things are almost like on a schedule, you know, when the geese would leave the water to go to the fields and when they'd leave the fields to come to the water. So it was all about a timing if you wanted to catch them coming and going, but it wasn't easy hunting them on the river. Much right. easier to hunt ducks.
Right, right, totally. All right, Brett, well, I mean, that's all I got for you. Is there anything else we need to know about this?
If you're interested in the situation, go ahead and get your comments out there to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. You can do that online, comment to your commissioner or any of the commissioners and let them know how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure you'll be reporting on whichever direction the Fish and Wildlife Commission falls next month.
Right. So stay tuned.
Thanks, man. Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana Newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.